Yahweh bless you. We're beginning another fellowship, and tonight's sharing is going to be on the lowly shall be exalted. I hope that's us. And the exalted shall be made lowly. And so we saw Elijah just shared about the Tower of Babel, and we see great figures on things that are high. But Yahweh doesn't like things that are high. And that's where we get the word haughty. Haughty comes from the word high. So we're going to begin in Matthew 23, 8, page 25 in the New Testament. Everybody got Bibles? Word of Yahweh. And so, contrary to our nature, that we want to be the most important, or we want to be special. And we are, but when we exalt ourselves, we're going to be coming down. 23, 8 through 12. Let's see. Where am I? I got Matthew 23. That's not right. Let me just check. Maybe it was Mark 23. Yeah, it's Mark 23. No, Mark didn't have 23. Okay, hold on. Yeah, Mark chapter 10. Maybe I was supposed to be in. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Verse 13 to 15. Okay, let's see. And the heading is, Children Brought to Yahushua. And we were bringing unto him children, that he might touch them. The disciples, however, were rebuking them. But Yahushua, seeing it, was greatly displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the children to come unto me, do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of Yahweh. Verily I say unto you, this is very important, whosoever shall not welcome the kingdom or the reign of Yahweh as a child, in no wise shall enter therein. Here's the condition. We have a condition. You will submit yourself like a child does. If you tell a child to do something, they go, okay. If you tell your child anything, okay, okay. I mean, young ones, that's the way it is. That's what humility is and being lowly is. And folding in his arms, he was blessing them, having laid his hands upon them. So that's what we're looking at. Now we go into Yahweh wants the heart of a servant. And we're all, like Elijah said, Yahweh is the king and we are the servants. And Christ is our Lord and we are the servants. But we have to elect to be them. So that's also called a bond slave. And whenever you see in the word handmaiden, that also is a bond slave, but it's the woman instead of the male. So Yahweh says, my servant to certain individuals. He'll say, Abram, my servant. And we don't have to go there. That's Genesis 26, 24. Moses, my servant. Numbers 12, 7. Caleb, my servant. Numbers 14, 24. David, my servant. 2 Samuel 3, 18. Naaman, my servant. 2 Kings 5, 6. Job, my servant. Job 1, 8. Isaiah, my servant. Isaiah 20, verse 3. Jacob and Israel are my servant. Isaiah 41:8. Messiah is my servant, or the Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah 52:13. The bud, which is Semach, which is also representing the Messiah, which is Christ, is my servant. Zechariah 3:8. Nebuchadnezzar was Yahweh's servant. Jeremiah 25:9. And Zerubbabel was Yahweh's servant, Haggai 2:23, and these are the ones who says, Zerubbabel, my servant. So there's a lot of, I mean, every prophet is a servant. But it should be able to say, Yahweh could say, or Yahushua would say, Elijah, my servant, Isaiah, my servant, Israel, my servant, Melania, my servant. Why? Because you do what they tell you to do, or ask you to do. Now let's go to 1 Peter 5. Chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, page 242.
In what chapter is it?
1 Peter, chapter 5.
Okay.
This is a good verse to memorize. On page 242. In like manner, you younger men, submit yourselves unto elders. We're talking about submission. All, however, one towards another, gird on humility. And here's where I learned the verse. Because Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift you up in due times. So we get the difference between being haughty, and if you're haughty, you're going to be brought low. You go low and let Yahweh exalt you. Now we go to examples. Is King Saul is a good example. So we go to 1 Samuel 9:21, page 298. And many times in our lives, as children, we are humble. And then we can become haughty, and we can rebel against parents, we can rebel against society. And then if we do, we can always come back and have that choice to come back. Some people come back and resubmit themselves, and other people do not. And we're going to look at King Saul, started out very good. 1 Samuel 9:21. Would you want to read that, Melania? It's 297.
9 verse what?
21.
Then answered Saul and said...
Now his name is Saul. So think of it as two syllables. Go ahead.
Then answered Saul and said, am I not a man of Benjamin, of the smallest of tribes in Israel? And is not my family the poorest of the families in the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then hast thou spoken unto me such things as this.
So this was Samuel telling Saul that you're going to be king. You're going to be anointed. And so he's very humble in his mind. We're poor. You know, who are we? How can I be king of Israel? So he starts off good. Chapter 10, verse 22. And Elijah, you want to read that? And so they're about ready to anoint him, but they can't find him because he's going to hide. Chapter 10, verse 22.
Then asked they again of Yahweh, hath there yet come in hither a man? And Yahweh said, lo, he hath hid himself among the stores.
And so, 23.
So they ran and fetched him thence. And when he presented himself in the midst of the people, when he was seen to be taller than any of the people, from his shoulders and upwards.
And that's what's up right there. So they had to get him out there. Okay, great. He didn't want to be king. He didn't think he should be king. They brought him up. That's the person you want to be king. It's a person who doesn't want to be king. The person who wants to be king, generally, you don't want to be king. Now we go to chapter 22, verse 17, and we'll see his downfall. So he does become king. And power can have a tendency to corrupt people. For those who are weak. And this is important for us always to realize, if you have friends that you associate with, they get into high positions, that we can make sure that they remain humble and realize that, you know, don't let this step go to your head, otherwise it can destroy them in the process. So Isaiah, you want to read verse 17.
Yep.
Now, so what they're doing is they're looking for David. Read 16 to 17. They're looking for David. David was at this place where the priests were. And Saul is asking, where's David? Because he wants to kill David. So read 16 to 17.
16 to 17. And the king said, thou shalt die,
Abimelech.
Thou shalt all the household of thy father. And the king said to the runners that were stationed by him, turn ye round and put to death the priests of Yahweh. Because their hand also is with David. And became they knew that he was in flight, and unveiled not mine ear. But the servants of the king were not willing to thrust forth that hand to fall upon the priests of Yahweh.
So here it is. Gets anointed, and now he is murdering Yahweh's priest. And that's where Saul fell. And he was lowly, he got haughty, And we know he ends up dying a poor death. A good example is David, or David. And we're going to Psalm 78, verse 70, page 551. And chapter 78, Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72, page 571. And made choice of David his servant. Here's a place where we're talking about servant. And took him from among the folds of the sheep, a very lowly position. Only usually children and women took care of the sheep. And after the suckling ewes, he brought him in to be shepherd to Jacob, his people, and to Israel, his inheritance. So did he shepherd them according to the singleness of his heart, and with the discernment of his hands, used he to guide them. There is a humble person with David, or David. And we go to Acts 13:20. We'll see, it's reaffirmed the success of David and the fall of Saul. Verse 20 to 23. And Esther, you want to read it?
And after these things, he gave them judges unto Samuel the prophet. And from that time they asked for themselves a king. And Jahwe gave him Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, during 40 years, and taking him aside.
Now that's pretty good right there. What happened to Saul? Yahweh set him aside.
Set him aside, raised up David, and then for king, of whom he also said, bearing witness, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man according to my heart, who will do all my will.
Who will do all my will. That's a servant. And so we have to always be a servant, and our flesh is to tell us, no, I want to be served. I don't want to serve. And it's nice to be served. It's nice to be served. I mean, that's where we have a place on that. But being servant is what life's all about. Now we know we've got Saul was king, failed. David was successful, and then that goes right into 23. From this man's seed hath Yahweh, according to promise, brought into Israel a savior, Yahushua. So of all the servants, it's Yahushua. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 1 through 11, page 202. We all know these verses. So we are all made in the image of Elohim, and we can maintain that image in service. If we get out of service, then we're not in the image of Elohim, we actually become a beast. 2:1, if there be therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of ruach, if any tender affection and compassions, fill you up my joy that the same thing you esteem, the same joy possessing, joined in soul, the one thing esteeming, nothing by way of faction, nothing by way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. And this is where we always got to be praying for Donald Trump and people in authority, to keep praying to keep them meek, lowly in mind, accounting one another superior to yourselves. Very simply, your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, everybody else, we count ourselves inferior to them. Not to your own things severally looking, but to the things of others severally. The same thing esteem yourself, which also in Christ Yahushua you esteem. Who in the form of Yahweh, subsisting, not a thing to be seized, accounted to being equal with Yahweh, but himself emptied. And so we have to do, these are all the requirements. You have to empty yourself. Taking a servant's form, come to be in man's likeness, and in fashion be found as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon a cross, humiliating death, out there naked in front of everybody, and where he didn't have to take that, he could have beat them all. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high. So who lifts us? Yahweh. So remember it says, Yahweh against the haughty, Philippians 2,
okay.
9. Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time. It's up to Yahweh to lift us up. And that's what he did with Christ. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted him far on high, and favored him with the name which is above every name, in order that in the name of Yahushua every knee might bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yahushua Christ is Lord, unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. If you humble yourself through this whole life, you're going to be exalted into the new earth, where you're going to live 1,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000 years. So forget about the 70 or 80 or 100 years. Let's just get our eyes on this. That's where I want my investment. And now we go to Acts 2, verse 33. And this will be over and over of Yahweh exalting his son, and not his son exalting himself. Acts 2:33. You want to read that, Isaiah?
Yes. Chapter 2, verse 33. Okay. The same Yahushua hath raised him, wherefore?
No, Acts 2:33.
Oh, 33, sorry. Okay. By the right hand of Yahweh, therefore having been exalted, also the promise of the Holy Spirit, having a seed from which Father, he hath poured out of this which yourselves do see and hear.
But who exalted him, having therefore been exalted by the right hand of Yahweh? Yahweh exalted him. In chapter 5, verse 31. You want to read that, Esther?
Mm-hmm. Him as princely leader and savior, hath Yahweh exalted into his right hand, gave repentance into Israel, and remission of sins.
So Yahweh exalted him. And we know he set him at his own right hand. Now, so we can see the successful ones, and now we're going to see the ones who are not successful. And one is the example of Eve and Adam, Adam. And so they were promised to be exalted. So right now, if you disobey Yahweh, you're not going to die like he says you're going to die. And guess what? You're going to be just like him. You're going to be like gods.
If you obey, you said disobey. If you obey?
No, if you disobey Yahweh, the adversary said if you disobey Yahweh, Yahweh says if you eat of the tree of good knowledge, you're going to die. He says you're not going to die. Believe me, you can be exalted right now. And that's what was the lie. We know that the fall of mankind. That's in Genesis. Now we go to Ezekiel, the adversary falling. Ezekiel chapter 28, page 818. It's going to be the king of Tyre. They're going to refer to it. We believe this is all about the adversary because this particular person, Tyre, is a country right next to Sidon. But this person who he's talking to was in the Garden of Eden. So that could have been a prince of Tyre. We're going to say that. So we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Melania?
And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, Thus saith my Lord Yahweh, because lofty is thy heart, and thou hast said, God am I? In the seat of Yahweh have I taken my seat, in the heart of the seas.
Okay, so what is man is lofty. That means you're up high. No good comes from that. Now we go to verse 17 and 19. Lofty was thy heart in thy beauty. And beauty can do that too. So you'll see people in school. And beauty, popularity, and that's why you need to befriend the people who are nice, but the people who don't have that. And like I said, don't hang around them because they're not part of the cool sect. And so people automatically do that, and you're like, that's fine with me. And I'm going to befriend people who need friendship. And that being an example, and I think a good example is probably Tim Tebow like that. He probably did a lot of that. And you're looking at people like that, and making people feel special. Now, there are some stupid people that are jerks, and they're outside the circle, too, and they're lofty in their own minds. You know, so you don't want to be, just because they're unpopular or they're picked on, that you're going to befriend them. But there are people who are just kind people and aren't even noticed. So somebody, you can see somebody maybe in a cafeteria and sitting all by themselves, and you go sit down next to them. How you doing? Hi, I'm Elijah. What's your name? And make them feel better. 17, lofty was thy heart and thy beauty. Thou didst corrupt thy wisdom because of thy splendor. Upon the earth did I cast thee. Before kings did I set thee, that they may look at thee. This is the adversary, to the best of our knowledge, owing to the abounding of thine iniquities and the perversity of thy traffic, thou didst profane thy sanctuaries. Therefore brought I forth a fire out of my midst. The same devoured thee, and I turned thee to ashes on the ground. So eventually that's what's going to happen to the adversary in the lake of fire. He's going to be, it says for ages on ages, but at some particular time it's going to stop because you're done. Before the eyes of all beholding thee, all that have known thee among the peoples were astonished over thee. A terror hast thou become, and art not unto time's age of body. So at some particular time he's not going to be. So the adversary didn't do very good. He got lofty, just as Eve and Adam did. One other example is Aaron and Miriam. And we're going to go to Numbers 12, page 170. These are examples, and guess what? Both of them are prophets by Yahweh. Yahweh has given them Ruach. And the prophets are the spokesman, or they speak for Yahweh. And so you're servants. Okay, 12, 1 through 3. And Miriam and Aharon spake unto Moses against Moses. Was Moses Yahweh's servant? Yes, he was. On account of the Cushite woman whom he had taken, for a Cushite woman had he taken. And you're like, where was he? He had to leave Egypt. And he went to the Cushites. And that's really like Ethiopia. So his wife was probably an Ethiopian. Well, what's he supposed to take? A Hebrew? Hebrews don't live there. You know, so, but they don't like the Cushite woman. And they said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? With us also hath he not spoken? Uh-oh, things are going south. And Yahweh heard it. Now, the man Moses was patient exceedingly above all the sons of earth who were on the face of the ground. Isn't that something? Here's the big contrast between Moses, who didn't want the job, and was forced into it by Yahweh, and Aharon and Miriam, who probably wanted the job, but could never handle the fame and the power that comes along with it. So they had to be corrected, and how did Yahweh correct them? How did he correct Miriam?
Leprosy.
Yeah, leprosy. He didn't do it to Aharon, but he did it to Miriam to think about this a little bit. Did that humble her? Yeah, that's like putting puke and vomit and feces all over you. I say, go outside the camp and don't wipe it off for a week. Does that make you a little lower? Get down to where you're supposed to be? Because you think about what you're doing here?
And all Israel would know for a week what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah. So leprosy was terrible. Now we go to Uzziah. chapter or 2 Chronicles 26, page 458. These are all examples that Yahweh gives us to learn, because I guess what? I don't want to be one of these people who is going to be humble.
What you? Chapter again?
You want Yahweh to humble you? Yeah, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles 26, page 458. So we have lessons to learn from other people. And this was a great king who reigned for like 51 years, I believe. Or over 50, I know that. And 14 through 16 of 26. And Uzziah prepared for them for all the host, bucklers and shields and helmets and coats of mail and bows, and yet even sling stones. And he made in Jerusalem inventions invented of the inventor. Isn't that great? Inventions invented of the inventor to be upon the towers and upon the turrets for throwing with arrows. I think that was the catapults. Maybe you could load 100 arrows, pull them back, and let it go. Right? And with great stones, so that his name went forth afar, for he was marvelously helped. To what?
That he was strong.
Until that he was what? Strong. But when he became strong, uplifted was his what?
Heart.
So success can uplift your heart. And we saw I think Charles Cook wrote a book on how...
Overcoming success.
Yeah, overcoming success. Overcoming success. And it was in his heart unto ruin. For he acted unfaithfully against Yahweh his Elohim, who made him strong, and entered into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And what happened to this guy?
He did.
Leprosy, like.
What did he get?
Leprosy.
And went right to his forehead. Actually, the priest told him to get out, and he did not. And if he would have left at that time, he'd probably be without a leper. And guess what? He was always a leper for the rest of his life. So what was that? A heart problem, because Miriam was only a leprous for 7 days, so she was humbled. You know, so obviously this person did not humble himself. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 32, chapter 32. Hezekiah did a great job for Yahweh. But with all of us, God, you know, prophets and priests, and you can get into these big ministries like Kenneth Copeland and Andy Womack and Joyce Myers local pastors, and you got 1,000 people wanting to come and hear you speak, or 10,000 or a million, and it can really get up here. So you have to surround yourself with people who are going to tell you the truth, and not with people who to hear what you want to hear. And most people are going to be what they call sycophants. See, that's how you say it. And they tell you not the truth, but what you want to hear, because that way you'll like them and keep you around it. Because most people don't want to be around somebody who's going to tell them that they're doing something wrong. Now, you really shouldn't do that. You know, that's called reproof and correction. And so, you know, so David always kept prophets around him for that purpose. Saul did not. And so a very important thing with Saul, Samuel anointed him. And after he disobeyed Yahweh a couple of times, it says Samuel departed from him forever. What does that say?
Yahweh
has quit. And when somebody quits telling you the truth, then you've shut out Yahweh to your own demise and could end up just like Saul.
Cut off all messengers.
Yeah, pardon me?
Cut off all messengers. Don't let anyone in.
Yeah, we give you a couple of chances. We're not going to waste our breath. And you never want that to happen. So you always want to keep that door open. So you should always tell everybody, if there's something that I can do or something I'm doing that you believe is wrong, at the right time, tell me. Or put in a nice letter. You don't want to do it at the wrong time. So everybody will tell you what you're doing right. Good job, Melania. Good job, Elijah. Great game and this or that and everything else. And so you don't have to tell, hey, am I doing any good? People will tell you when they're good. It's when you're doing bad Now, a lot of times people are silent because you're not going to like this when I tell you this. Actually, you're probably going to get mad and think I'm trying to hurt you. Why do you want to hurt me? Yeah, because I'm telling you the truth. And that's why people don't tell the truth many times. Family members generally will. This is good. Parents, that's what they're made to be. Not to be friends. And that's what you need to do with friends, too. If you see a friend going off the rail, you got to say, I'm not going there. You should be hanging around this person, and here's why you should be hanging around this person. And if you continue hanging around that person, I can't hang around with you. Very simple like that. Okay, 32:24-26. Hezekiah, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and when he prayed unto Yahweh, he was entreated of him, and a wonderful token he gave him. Isn't that great? Gave him 15 more years. And not according to the benefit done unto him did Hezekiah make return. For what? Uplifted was his what?
Heart.
Golly. He's king. And so there came upon him wrath and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah did what?
Humbled himself.
So remember, if you get to that place where you come to your parents and say, you're not the boss of me. You know what they're going to say? Yes, you are. Yes, I am. And you're going to be humbled. All right? Grounded. Or this, or whatever. Don't tell me what to do. And you're going to be humbled. But he took it. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the uplifting of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of Yahweh came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So when you do something wrong, you tell people they need to know this. And instead of waiting for it to come, take your condition, take what it is, but it'll only get worse if you don't do that. Because then you hide things, and then you end up becoming dishonest, and the people think whenever you say something, generally you're going to try to cover yourself instead of being humble. And we'll stop right at the last, and this would be in Isaiah 2, verse 11, page 652. And this is the day of Yahweh, which is the book of Revelation. And that's what the day of Yahweh is all about, is haughty men. 2:11. The lofty looks of mean men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of great men shall be what? Bowed down.
Bow down.
And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. Very simple. I forgot what other one I was going to read. I thought I had this here. A great verse.
There's something on the top of the back.
Yeah, I got that. But it was many times Yahweh will talk about when he comes, the hills will be met low and the valleys will be lifted up. The hills are haughtiness are coming down, and the valley, which is the humble, are coming up. And so let's just go back to Matthew 23. I think I just took that out of place, and then we'll end. Page 25. I was thinking of Mark when I actually did Matthew. I was beginning this. Must be some significance there that I forgot.
You're talking about the humbleness.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right. 23:8-12. But ye do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all ye are brethren. And father be none of you called upon the earth, for one is your father, the heavenly. Need to be called leaders, for your leader is one, the Christ. And the grace of you shall be your what?
Minister.
Okay, so we have a choice. Do I want to be great here, or do I want to be great on the new earth? A lot longer there. You become a minister. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be what? Abased. And whosoever shall abase himself shall be
exalted.
That's a promise. So if you serve, you will be exalted in Yahweh's time. And a lot of times these people are done. I think Mike Pence is like that. He's exalted to be Vice President of the United States. And he's humble. And so he can handle it. And Yahweh, I want people like that. So is Moses. Moses was exalted over everybody. He's the only one who went to Yahweh face to face. So you can be a very, very, very high positions in this earthly realm, but you know it has nothing to do with you. And you're doing it because Yahweh wants you to do the job. Okay, let's stop there. And we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father a prophecy for the viewers and listeners in the future, according to 1 Corinthians 14.
We never manifested, did we?
Okay, let's go ahead and manifest. I'm going to prophesy first, and then everybody else can speak in tongues and interpret. Father, thank you for these words. As you begin each day and as you meditate and contemplate on my words of truth, my words will set you free as they always have and have done for generations upon generations. Because I am the Creator, I have put things in their order and their purpose, so do not doubt them. But believe what I say and do what I say to do, and you shall prosper as I have promised in my word.